All right. Welcome to the Roll Less Taken Campfire. I am Graham. I am playing Jet. I use he and they pronouns, and Jet uses Z-Zier pronouns. And I am joined once again by the other people who play this game with me. Say hi to the people.
The people. M, who plays Sean. We both use they-them pronouns.
Mickey here. I use they-them pronouns. Luminescence is the character I am playing now, and they use they-them pronouns.
This person is called Chris. I use whatever pronouns, and I'm playing Sabrina, who uses she-her pronouns.
So we're that was a very, very like official-sounding introduction. care to remind us what we did last time? The person who takes notes?
Yes. We successfully obtained 4 stars from the Hellbender Queen after presenting our dead moths. And we headed back to, with our stars, back to camp to just check in. And the Lady Obliette gave us a visit and ended up picking Robin to be their favorite. And in turn, they disappeared. So, but nobody has really noticed yet. It kind of happened in the background. Sabrina ends up pulling Lucinda aside to tell her about how Cid died and what happened to Cid. And then we see, I forget what context this is in, so if you know, enlighten me, but a beam connects the stars that we have.
Yeah, I think that was a thing that Mickey was narrating at the end there about, like, basically how the stars work as they kind of beam together.
Cool.
Kind of like a constellation, I think. I'm kind of looking at Mickey, who is nodding.
Yes. Okay. And do you have any more insights, Mickey?
Yeah, I remember that. We were examining the stars, and I think there was a thought that they might connect in some way. We didn't know in what context that could be used or how it could be used, but this idea that the stars could have some type of linear or more geometry that might be useful.
Yes.
Yeah, like the stars were being held up as we were examining them, and a beam of light began to connect them, like when they got in range.
Yes. And we did lots of planning talk, I think, which was like the majority of it. But the kids got to meet Lumen and quote unquote Jet for the first time. And some of our future thoughts were we're getting ready to fight the Lindworm. And that is where we left off. I think we were walking. Were we walking back into the forest? What were we doing when we ended?
I think we ended on the note of the Lady Obliette taking Robin. That's kind of where things ended, was like Robin had been sort of straggling behind the group, and that's when they heard a voice, and that voice was the Lady Obliette right behind her, or them.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because you edit the videos. I thought the very last scene like that we did in-game was the sitting around the fire and discovering that the stars had the light between them.
Could be. That was the order of my notes.
Okay.
Was the I remember the stars the being the end, but we hadn't acted on the fact that the Lady Obliette had taken Robin yet, but we characters didn't know it.
Yeah. And I think one of the last to-dos that I wrote down was maybe we notice Robin is missing and save them, but...
I recall there was like a brief chat about the fact that like Jet might notice because they're sort of like immune to magic isn't quite the right word, but like more like inoculated against it. And I think Lumen might as well, but neither of them know Robin super well. But Lucinda will probably be able to piece things together because she's got her magic stuff going on as well. I haven't quite gotten to that point in the episode that I'm still editing it, but I do recall that being part of it. So.
Exactly. They noticed and then they forgot the ones that are like made of magic.
Yeah. And the kids have no memory of it. But I think I was thinking about this morning. I was kind of picturing that Zach with the bone flute, now that Zach is no longer the favorite, kind of notices that like the bone flute is still there. It still exists, but it is now like it's gone, lost some of the luster. It's not as cold to the touch anymore. It's kind of warming to like a room temperature. And it probably doesn't sound as good, not that it ever sounded great. but like the magic is kind of leaving it. So it is now just kind of a bone with holes drilled in it instead of like a connection to the Lady Oubliette.
I think he would notice, but probably not care much about or tell anyone. We'll continue to play it badly.
Cue the mediocre flute noises.
I think I have a file.
You should add that into, yes. Yes. But like that really bad, like Star Wars, like just the worst rendition of something you can find.
I think the first time I used like hot cross buns.
Yes. Classic.
I'll have to see if I can find something worse.
Yeah. Sex elevating. It's now going to be like theme songs because they're done with hot cross buns. They got more skills.
They've been practicing air quotes.
Oh boy. So where do we want to start with Zach sort of piping away, or should we start with the Lindworm?
I feel like it's been a thing of starting with the Lindworm. We're in the last chapter, right? I think we got to.
That's a good place to start. Let me draw some cards. What do we got? Ooh. All right, start with the Six of Diamonds, the Eight of Clubs, and the Ace of Clubs. So the Eight of Clubs said, mistakes, manipulation, campers have started playing with animal bones. That's where we started. The aces, a camper was found dead, lobotomized while writing a letter for help. And we would remove that camper from the board. And then the six of diamonds, uncanny alien sensations and floating bones. So one way or another, bones are involved, it sounds like.
We do love bones.
We do.
We are a big fan of bones on this podcast. I am not opposed to combining them in some way, but it does also occur to me that like there is something kind of pretty about the fact that we'd be starting and ending with kind of the same prompt. But I'm still not opposed to doing floating, or, you know, we could sacrifice a camper. We've been very hesitant to do that, but we're in the last, like, handful of episodes, I think, so.
Same thought that a starting and ending with the same card would be a nice bookmark. Show the versatility of the game system, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, who have we got left? We've got, what, Jack, Zach, and... Robin is kind of in a weird limbo.
And Allie.
Allie, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, Jack, Zach, Allie are the only three left.
Yeah.
Well, the only three sort of in the immediate vicinity. I mean, we have already talked a little bit about Zach playing with bones, so maybe that inspires the others to try and start their own, like, bone band.
Oh, yeah. And we can, I mean, I like the idea of combining it, too, like, this idea of floating bones.
Hmm.
And... I don't know. I'm thinking, like, so much.
We did,
crazy shit.
We initially threw out, like, the bones that the kids were playing with, and they took one of the, like, Zach took that one bone and kept it for himself. What if that skeleton returns? And it's just, like, the skeleton kind of at the edge of the forest is kind of, like, there looking for its bones back.
Creepy. Was it a
deer?
You mean,
like, floating?
Yep.
Alternatively, what if those bones emerge and they're floating, but in like a path towards the Lindworm? Like they're a trap?
I'm down with that.
Like leading us to our doom?
Or even just the floating bones of that deer could also be like it could be walking in its skeleton-y way, beckoning them into the wood.
I like that. Yeah.
So many ideas.
Dropping a few rib bones that then the campers pick up.
Yeah, like a trail of breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Trail of bone crumbs. Is there more flute music, but like good flute music coming from deeper in the forest?
Ooh.
Throw it over to our resident flautist.
Mm.
Chris, what would be a good good float flute solo here.
A good flute, like a piece of music?
Or a vibe.
No, a vibe. Is a cliche to say haunting. What if it just sounds like really cool? It sounds like Lizzo, like trap music. And the kids are just really, really into that. And so tell me if I'm interpreting this correctly, because we have a lot of ideas floating around. But there's like this skeleton, not skeletal, it literally is the skeleton of a deer that we had discarded the bones of way back when. And it is floating just out of sight of us camp counselors, but within sight of the children who have, it's going towards the forest and it's dropping bones along the way. And as it's doing this, you also hear like this banging flute music coming from the middle of the forest. It sounds like there's a rager going on and the deer is leading the way and the kids are really into that. And so they scamper off collecting the bones along the way as they wander into the forest.
The kids are going into the forest. Ooh.
So they're trying to find this spot too.
Yeah, I heard it that way too, and I'm super down. You summed it up exactly how I was thinking of it.
Yeah, I dig it too. I'm kind of picturing the kids like think they're the Scooby Gang. Like they think they're gonna crack this case wide open while the counselors are probably like I'm kind of picturing that Sabrina and Lucinda are still talking about Sid being dead. I don't know, the other three are probably like still looking at the stars and being like, the hell? Beams of light. It's so weird.
Trying too hard to strategize.
And now we've lost all of them.
Yeah.
As is a running theme.
What if it's like music to only the kids can hear?
Oh, I like that.
Oh, I have, let me know if this, I don't want to step on your idea. What if it sounds differently to the listener? So like to the kids, they're hearing this awesome banging music, but to us, it sounds very, like what catches our attention is that it sounds super dissonant and terrifying. Because we are just so anxious right now.
I love that.
Ooh, yeah, I like that. Because like, I think that also kind of adds to the idea that like the kids are having a whole separate adventure. Like, they're like, we're going off, we're going to like, you know, learn about our feelings and become stronger people. And meanwhile, we're like, this thing is going to kill and eat everybody. And we have to figure out how to destroy it.
I like the metaphor too as well, like, because I feel like there's so many things in childhood that are seen as maybe innocent or fun or playful. Mm. But an adult or more experienced eye would know maybe are more menacing or dangerous, kind of the two levels there I'm enjoying.
Yeah, I think we do like, yeah, no, I'm kind of thinking like the counselor, the kids are probably like disappearing into the forest by the time the dissonant music kind of hits our ears and we're kind of like looking around like, what the hell? And then like, that's when we notice and that's when we're like, fuck the kids. The kids are gone. Shit.
There's a heavy exclamation point. It's fuck! Exclamation point. The kids.
Yes.
Not
fuck the kids. They made their bed.
They wandered. No. Question. What? So we know the kids are wandering off. I'm still picturing them as Scooby-Doo gang discovering themselves but also trying to solve this mystery. They still don't know about Sid, right?
No, they do not.
So do we think that maybe they're trying to find Sid or even Robin?
Maybe they think they're looking for, I mean, I don't know. Have they forgotten who Robin is?
Yeah, that was my question.
That's a good question.
I was kind of picturing it that like the Lady Oubliette kind of
just
like made it harder to remember them.
Yeah. No, that's totally fair. I just wanted to.
Maybe they're going to figure out like somebody, there is somebody that we've forgotten, but we have to go look for them. We know we've forgotten something. Like that feeling that you get if you have anxiety. I mean, if you're, you know, when you think you've left something behind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. Sidebar. Are you familiar with the episode of Gumball that has this exact plot where they notice somebody is missing, but they don't know who? And it turns out an entire classmate of theirs was sucked into a different dimension that takes things that are like so useless and like removes them from reality.
No, oh I did God, not. No.
It sounds like this, but darker, not as me. Okay, care.
That's so wild.
That sounds so cool.
So yeah, maybe they're going looking for something that might, they are maybe forgetting.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they believe that the flute music and the deer will show them the way because they live in a fairy tale.
Yes.
Meanwhile, our fairy tale heroes.
Who notices first?
That's a good question. I would say it's one of the two more human players would be my hunch.
I think Lumen definitely wouldn't.
Hmm. Jet is probably like way focused on like the combat potential of the stars.
Lumen's just like way focused on the stars and like, gosh, I never noticed like that part of like Zirnek before. Like what is that? Oh my God, the stars. Like for real, how do you even work that muscle?
I love how in love Lumen is.
It's very cute.
What if Sabrina and Lucinda like come back and like the three of us have been in like strategy talks and like they just ask us where the kids are?
Yeah.
I can picture Jed just kind of looking up and being like looking around like frantic, like, oh God.
Yeah, the kids are gone.
They do that. They go to sleep around with the stars. They must be in their cabins.
Did you see them go into the cabins?
No, I suppose not.
Let's go check real quick. We all walk.
I was just looking to see if I had a move.
Oh yeah, opening up a character sheet might be useful.
Dude, same. Just remembered.
Because I'm like, I don't know, I was kind of picturing like as we're heading towards the cabins, that's when we kind of notice like the trees rustling and like the back of somebody's shirt, like in the woods. Mostly because I don't want us to get too lost on like, you know, going to check the cabin and the kids are just vanished into the woods.
Yeah.
Because we know how the woods can be.
Maybe we hear the creepy flute music as we're like, right, walking over.
Yeah. I was kind of picturing, I think when we ended last time we were at the new campfire. So I'm kind of picturing, the kids are going off towards the woods, which means they had to cross the bridge too, which would kind of slow them down a bit.
Take a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Looking at my map. So yeah, I think that's where we kind of are piecing things together, and now we're heading towards the forest. What happens next?
We need to go get the kids now, immediately.
Yes. Agreed.
In a
size. Oh yeah, we don't even need to take a vote. That's just, I mean, what are we doing? Do we need anything? Does everyone have, I'll get the stars, Lumen puts the stars back into their, like a little satchel.
Yep, we got flashlights. We got all the stuff. Lucinda, do you want to stay here? And maybe if they come back, you can be their home base, or do you need to come with us?
That's a good question. I hadn't thought about what to do with Lucinda.
Lucinda probably is still processing her grief right now.
That's a good point.
Kind of just be like, I'll stay here and kind of wait.
I was leaning towards leaving Lucinda behind, but I couldn't come up with a good excuse, and that's a very good excuse. Lucinda's going to stay behind, set up home base, maybe even make sandwiches for when the kids return, because she's practical in that way. I've got a move that says take action, leaving yourself vulnerable. So I'm like, that could be interesting, unless somebody else has another move worth taking.
No.
So maybe Jet rushes off, just like charges into the forest on Zirone, just gone.
They're probably so fast too.
Yep. Probably surprisingly quick for somebody who's like as heavy and full of like covered in metal as they are.
Is it like superhuman speed, or they're just really fast?
All right, so Lumen is strutting across the lawn,
and then Sean starts running. Ba ba ba.
Sabrina also starts running. Ta ta ta.
And Sean's also gonna take a neutral, regular move that's reminding everyone of proper safety techniques. And since we always lose each other, they're going to like throw a rope to, I'm assuming Lumen and Sabrina are still relatively close by, and say, don't lose each other. Let's grab onto this as we go.
Yeah, I think Jet is gone, thus vulnerable.
Yeah.
Lumen would kind of extend an arm to get it. And then maybe you'd see some small moths come up and bring the rope to their arm.
That's cute.
I also like to imagine that the rope almost turns silky where Lumen is holding it, because like Lumen can't hold normal rope.
No. Like it would be dirty.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be nice.
Love it. Okay. And we're off.
All right. Who do we want to start with? Do we want to start with the kids, with the jet, or the other three?
Should we do what the kids see?
Yeah, let's start with what the kids see.
What do the kids see? Who's playing this flute?
Well, Mickey was implying it was the Lindworm.
Yeah.
Which I don't hate.
Yeah.
But we can't play the Lindworm.
No.
We're not playing the Lindworm.
No, I was going to say, the last time we saw Zach as the Lindworm, Zach was also covered in bones, so there's definitely a bone theme going on.
I have an idea, sort of.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So the children and their little Scooby-Doo, they're creeping with their feet, and they're kind of, but they're like bobbing their heads to the music, and they get to a small clearing in the forest where they see in front of them, like where the deer has gone. It's still missing some bones, but it is somehow now the source of this music, and it's like dancing on its hind leg and playing what looks to be a flute. This sounds ridiculous. Here's the twist. They're gonna go in and they're gonna start jamming, and they're like doing a three-person mosh pit, but that's like an illusion that they are seeing. And in reality, the roots of the trees in the forest are slowly coming up and wrapping, curling around their bodies and kind of like binding them up until they're like suspended by branches in the trees, and it's slowly beginning to squeeze them. But they're so high on like this awesome concert going on in front of them and this awesome music that they don't even notice that they are beginning to have their airways restricted, and they're beginning to become very, very lifeless. So the kids, we would see terrible things, but they are seeing awesome things right now.
They're like crowd surfing on tree roots, and
they are crowd surfing on tree
roots. Oh, that's
so their potential dope. Demand.
I love it. I was gonna say, we've got a whole bunch of bones going on, and there is the other Lindworm element, which is called the bones. This is the one that's a little bit more body horror themed, but we could also do the ritual of the roadkill parade, which is what comes with that particular element, to kind of resolve how this is all going down. The description of the bones says, the bones are the flayed bodies of roadkill pets and farm animals that have been transformed into the mocking, hungry servants, the Lindworm. They exist only to remind us all of the pain the Lindworm has caused and the nauseating reality of what exists directly beneath our skin.
It's like a full concert of like more skeletal animals showing up with like different like instruments. Like there's a raccoon playing like its own ribs. And like I imagine like the kids are like laughing and loving it, but you know, it's terrifying.
I love that.
Could there also be, and this is a crossover, and it's not quite as pure as the original concept of just the bones, but I'm thinking of Servants of the Lindworm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of deceased animals. I'm thinking about the wolves. Could those thick wolves that are always shifting form and agonizing pain also be a part of the party? Or is that too many at a party?
No,
maybe they're part of the party. Like the kids see them and the wolves are kind of like they're forming their own mosh pit. But in reality, the wolves are like screaming out. They are at where the Lindworm is currently concentrated. And the Lindworm is the source of their pain and their suffering. And they are just howling, blood-curdling howls as they continue to shift and transform, and they're somehow bound to this spot against their will.
They're kind of on the outside of the party, the ones that weren't invited, at least in the kids' perspective, so like they're not cool enough to be part of this. And in, I think, maybe the wolves' perspective, they want to eat the children, but they can't. Oh, man. So, I don't know, maybe not do the whole ritual, just because the whole ritual is almost identical to the one that we did for the wolves, but there are some cool metaphors that we could maybe work with. We had a badger flayed alive, a very familiar cat, endless possums, the scream of a child, the choking feeling in the air, the itching feeling under your skin, and the lindworm in the distance, and the stag in the center for kind of all the things to describe. So it kind of sounds like we're basically doing it, even if we're not doing the whole ritual.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what if the familiar cat is like the camp cat, but like what it truly looks like? Because like we've had this like idea that this cat has always looked the same and been at the camp for years and years and years. Like longer than a cat should be alive.
Yeah.
And then like, hi. So it's the camp cat, but it's like this undead cat with like chunks of flesh missing. Like it's maybe like half of its face I'm picturing is skeletal, while the other half is just like this like mangy fur. And maybe,
but to the kids it still just looks like the camp cat.
Yeah. And I imagine the cat is also, while maybe still a servant of the lindworm, like has some love for the kids. So maybe it's like going up and like scratching at the tree roots and trying to help, and the kids just see it as like coming over and like hanging out with them.
Oh man.
Sea of horror.
Yeah.
The tragic characters are not limited to humans.
Poor camp cat. I do kind of like that too, that idea of it, like it's sort of been in service to the lindworm, but it's been trying to sort of work against the lindworm at the same time. Oh man.
Do we need to do the two desires and two aesthetic elements for the bones?
Yeah, actually that might be useful.
Let's do it.
So two desires are to gnaw, to crawl, to subvert, to reveal fragility, and to tear away.
I mean, I feel like they're already subverting, right? Yes,
very much.
Yeah.
We've decided that desire without even knowing it.
Right? That's kind of the cool thing, too, about this game, is like we've introduced this element without actually introducing this element, and started this ritual without actually starting the ritual. So gnaw, crawl, or reveal fragility, or tear away. They're kind of tearing things away, too, with the tree roots.
In life.
Yeah, exactly.
They're taking the kids away from the camp.
Yep. Two aesthetic elements: rotting possum wandering with the children, massive flayed deer, huge bear with no hair, a pack of coyotes missing eyes, a family of rabbits with hollow guts, coins sewn into the fur, dangling bits of thread, smeared mud, and bones arranged in patterns.
Bones arranged in patterns.
We also already have a deer with no skin.
Yeah, we do have a big flayed deer already.
All right. Anything else out of that list speak to anybody? Just because we usually do multiple, so I figured I'd ask.
I think this is the one where less is more, because we already have a lot of animals going on here.
This is true. We have an endless parade of possums, of dead possums. So I guess who reaches the, just because the forest is weird, who reaches the scene first?
Well, wouldn't it be Jet, because Jet dashed off with unnatural speed?
That's what I was thinking, but I was also like, what if Jet got waylaid by something else?
Yeah, does Jet leaving themselves vulnerable run into something that prevents them from making it before everybody?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. I was just like, do we just go all in and bring somebody else in?
Yeah, like, what if your person, not the Underhill King, but the
Cataract Knight?
The Cataract Knight.
Ooh.
Needs you.
Ooh.
Abruptly.
That
doesn't have to happen, but I'm just trying to think of different ways Jet would be
waylaid.
Pulled away.
No, I like that actually. I think that's a very good, because that puts Jet in a very difficult spot where it's like, on the one hand, I'm trying to save my like new friends, but on the other hand, like, I've got this duty to the Cataract Knight, and so I'm going to have to make that choice. I'd like to cogitate on that, though, for a minute.
Yeah.
Unless somebody else has a suggestion for what it is that the knight needs. Oh, wait, you know what it could be? One of the Underhill King's moves is march forth from the hills with vengeance in your heart. Maybe I'm running through the forest and suddenly I see this like old stone statue looking, you know, knight image. And I sort of have to stop dead in my tracks before I run into this, into Harlow, Cataract Knight, who, without saying any words, informs me that the king is preparing to march on the Lindworm and that my presence is needed under the hill.
That's a great scenario.
And I think, honestly, I'd say let's leave me there for a minute just because I don't know what to do next.
Okay.
Then we've got the other three kind of tromping through the woods.
What do we do? I imagine Lumen is first in this group.
Yeah, I was imagining Lumen, Sean, and then Sabrina.
Yeah.
I think Lumen would, as they gathered strength and strides through the forest, would also gather the moths. And as they approach this kind of cyclone of death and destruction, there is this opportunity for the moths to come in. And the moths don't... Sorry, one second.
That blowing nose.
Okay. Where was I? Line.
Moths are coming.
Oh, right. The moths are coming. Thank you. So I'm imagining that as Lumen looks up at this cyclone of destruction and death, the moths are approaching and the moths carry with them, I'm going to imagine, kisses from heartbroken lovers. So the moths are going to approach each of the like agonizing macabre yet somehow very also lonely and sad creatures who are falling apart and bring them kisses from heartbroken lovers. And I'm not quite sure how they'll react to that, but that's kind of how Lumen will approach this, is not by touching any of the interactions themselves, just sending the moths.
Are the moths going to the animals or to the campers?
To the animals.
Hmm.
In an attempt to reach either some, humanity is too person-centered because they're animals, but to reach some type of compassion within them.
Hmm.
And some feeling other than hatred and agony, I think would be Lumen's plan.
How do the animals react to this?
So I was just checking the ritual to see if there's anything in there, and the setting element as well. So their moves are telegraph the incoming threat of death, so discomfort and discontent. Lash out, killing minor characters and breaking items, which they're trying to do. Take action, causing disgust and horror. Place the main characters in an impossible choice, or begin the ritual.
I don't know. Sorry. Trying to be thoughtful with the animals. I feel like the moths would maybe lower the illusion slightly for the campers, right?
That makes sense.
So maybe as the moths come in and like provide their kisses from lost lovers, the like pieces of the animals that are like horrifying are actually now understood and perceived by the campers. So they slowly begin to see like loss of fur and the bones appear.
Hmm. And that probably does remind the campers of the stories that I don't think the counselors have ever like endorsed the telling of Lindworm stories around the campfire, but I think it's one of those things that like everybody kind of knows. It's like an open secret. Everybody's kind of heard something or knows somebody's told them a story about the Lindworm, et cetera, et cetera. So like, I think that's when they start kind of piecing things together and realizing that like all of these creatures around them are actually also victims. They've all been chewed on by the Lindworm. They've all been experimented on by the Lindworm. And we did kind of throw out that maybe Cid is somewhere nearby. Is that when they maybe see Cid, like, with the bone, with a bone flute of his own and the bat bones still kind of maybe sewn or tied across his chest?
Like, more subtle than seeing the actual tufts of hair and carnage on the animals. perhaps there's this, if you like think back to like, there's probably like something in your childhood where it was a lot of fun, but you definitely shouldn't have done that. And there was that moment of, oh, fire's a lot of fun, but we probably shouldn't have taken these matches kind of vibe. So maybe it's just like that subtle feeling of like, oh, right. Or maybe they do see that there's some fur missing. Or maybe it's just the feeling of, right, we're supposed to stay with the campers. Where are the campers? Then we're meant to do something else. Maybe just because this is fun doesn't mean we should stop seeing the other things.
It's like just enough of the like illusion is gone that they're like starting to remember reality.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Just another take. I like them both though. I'm not opposed to the more gore aspect of it.
Just if we wanted like a, I guess I'm not quite sure, you know, how this would all shake out. So just feeling out different possibilities.
I am as usual trying to figure out how to do both. So I'm like, because I feel like maybe it is the kind of like the mood starts to fade, the vibe kind of dies, and then like they start looking around and they start realizing that they're trapped in the tree roots, and they start realizing that these animals are kind of fucked up, and they kind of start realizing like that they've made a bad decision. And that's when they kind of get a glimpse of like Cid in the kind of with the bone flute kind of continuing the march and maybe leading the animals away, leaving them trapped in the forest.
I love it. And that's when we all come in, right?
Well, the three of you.
Yeah. I imagine Sean would immediately start trying to get the campers out of the tree roots. I don't know. What would everybody else be doing? Women did the moths. Sabrina?
I want to clarify. Are all of the animals leaving? Like all the ones that were previously raving, including the skeleton playing the music that lured everyone here? Or what groups of animals are leaving? What remains? What are we seeing?
Mm.
Are you asking what remains remain?
What remains remain?
I had kind of pictured that like the Lindworm's presence was what was kind of keeping the wolves at bay. So maybe the wolves are also kind of like, I don't think they're necessarily attacking. They're still very cautious that it might return, but they're like, they're kind of in the distance.
Yeah, that's what I was concerned about. Cause as I recall, there's like a pack of wolves originally here. So I think that likewise, regardless of the dangers that may be, Sabrina would immediately run in and try to help get the campers down. Which I am imagining, like, the trees are kind of animated in a way. Like, the campers are being suspended very high in the air, and the trees are kind of moving like vines. Like, they're not easy to pin down, not easy to get to. You would have to. And that's what Sabrina's trying to do.
Here's the thought, too. The like the main tree that they're kind of around has got names carved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Love round, like doing a full circle.
Oh yeah,
all connected. Yeah, Sean will definitely use a strong move to get at least like up the tree and get one of the campers down.
Got Allie, Zach, and Jack.
Sean will go for Allie first.
Oh, that's right. You were using a strong move, so I think that just kind of works. Like, you just kind of get up there and...
Yeah.
I
imagine I somehow have, like, two knives, and I, like, climb up, stabbing into the tree, like, saw away at the roots.
You have said something about having a utility tool, I think, earlier, so...
I do. I'm very safety conscious.
So, yeah, I think that's kind of how you do that. Still got two campers up in the air.
Sabrina is going to attempt to climb one of the trees that has Allie suspended, and I'm going to use a weak move and bungle something I was confident I could handle. And so, like nearly to the top of this tree, foot's going to slip, the branch is going to break beneath, almost as if the tree is trying to, or the force behind this tree is trying to thwart this plan to save these kids. And Sabrina is going to just tumble right down to the ground. With an oof. I think I'm gonna need some help. I can't get up there.
Okay. Lumen?
I this all is rather and just is gonna start backing up. I'm gonna use a weak move. Sorry. I'm just going to fall in love like a fool. I'm going to notice that Jet's not there. Weak move. I'm going to fall in love like a fool, and I'm going to leave and start looking for Jet. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I just feel like my character has like some real OP moments and then just is kind of very human sometimes.
I was looking through the various elements to see if there was a good move that I could throw out there. And there's one on the campers that says, remind everyone what they're fighting for. So I'm like, maybe this is a moment for Allie or Zach to actually kind of remind everybody what they're fighting for. I don't know exactly what that looks like. I was kind of leaving that open for suggestions.
What are we fighting for?
The campers.
Yeah.
And the camp.
I think maybe Allie, since she's the only one that's down now, and Sean's now like trying to call for Lumen and then trying to help Sabrina. And Allie looks up at her fellow camp counselors and like remembers all of these like crazy memories that they've made this past week of camp with Zach being like their quirky, unique self and teaching everybody about bones and sometimes acting odd with this like moment where maybe they weren't there anymore, but then they were still there, and is going to remember Robin climbing the tree like at one of the very first days of camp and is like, I can do this. Counselor Sean, Sabrina, lift me up and I'll cut them down. I don't know how high it is, but Allie's determined that like if somebody holds her up, she can get the other kids down. Oh, sorry. My
dog's it's all good.
He barks to get their spirits up.
Yeah.
Let's go. I was just thinking, maybe Jack, while Jack is kind of hung up there, and I think is convinced that she is going to die, and she just kind of blurts out, like, Sabrina, I'm sorry I tried to start a rumor about you.
Sabrina's gonna turn from Allie's rousing speech and just, don't worry about that. We're gonna get you down. Everything's gonna be okay, okay?
I think Jack's like crying, like snot, tears dripping down her face.
For sure she is. Okay, Sean's gonna lift up Allie, hand Allie their utility knife, and hope for the best. I mean, I feel like Allie is independent enough to know how to cut down the campers.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, like, there's no, like, aside from the wolves, which I think are still, like, too scared to actually act just in case the Lindworm returns. I don't think there's any actual danger to the campers, aside from the fact that the trees are trying to eat them, but, like, so I think you can actually, like, the four of you can get them down, Allie included.
Perfect. Allie goes for Zach, just because I imagine Sabrina's gonna go for Jack.
Zach and Jack.
Zach and Jack.
Zach, Jack, and Allie.
Yeah. Lock, shock, and barrel. Sabrina will go for Jack.
Yeah. I think it's not hard to get the other two down. Like, it's, you know, not easy, but it's not hard. And maybe this is also a moment for Jack to be like now that she's calmed down a bit, she's like, we were coming here because we know there's another camper, but we couldn't remember them and we couldn't find them. Like, that's one of the things we were trying to find them. We were trying to look for them. And then we heard this music and we kind of figured maybe that's the direction that they went. But I don't think it was. I don't think it was.
Allie technically remembered Robin in their moment of remembering what matters.
Ooh.
And she goes, where is that one camper that climbed the tree? Do you remember? They fell. Do we remember at this point? Like, is there anything that we can do to remember if our lady opened?
Honestly, I mean, I think we were just throwing it in there as flavor. I don't think there was any reason that we couldn't remember her.
Yeah.
Or because of her, I should say.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I think you can remember Robin.
Okay. Robin, then. Where is Robin? They were here, but now they're not? Oh my god, just like Mickey. And I was going to say, that feels like a good, like, time to transition back to Jet.
Hmm.
If you're ready to make that decision.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I'm trying to decide. I think, like, I'm kind of picturing that the knight is already walking away and is, like, already heading back towards the, like, underworld. I'm not even sure. I don't think, like, I think there's just kind of, like, a gap in the trees that kind of leads to the cave system that we found earlier. In a way that, like, doesn't make any actual, like, logistical sense. And I think Jet is kind of standing in the mouth of that cave and kind of, like, looking over his shoulder, like, I owe them their assistance, but I owe my allegiance to the king, and I think is very torn still. And so I'm trying to decide whether to, like, just make a decision or whether to, like, leave it hanging and deal with that on our next session.
Maybe they see something that sways their decisions.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I do also have a move, a weak move, that says forget what the Cataract Knight taught you.
Okay. Let me just say this. If you're standing there for it, if Jet is there, mm-hmm. maybe Z is looking at the back of the Cataract Knight walking away. And Z is seeing, once again, just that back of the Cataract Knight that Z have been following for so long without question. And then maybe there's just this idea that Z have been following for a long time. And then you hear, like, a rustling in the bushes and trees behind you. And you turn around and realize that somebody has been looking at your back for some time, too. And then you see an eruption of moths clearing a path for Lumen, who is running towards your character.
Ooh. Yeah, I think that would be enough to stop Jet in their tracks.
Yes.
Like, they turn around, or as they turn around, and, like, the portal to the underworld just kind of disappears.
Oh. For those who can't see at home, Mickey, I'm just sat here with both my head in my hands, just so pleased by the cuteness.
It's so cute.
All right.
We interrupt this era to bring you potential
romance. I love how every episode is like death, cosmic horror, body horror. And my character is always like, yeah, but love.
Love and romance
storyline.
No, I dig it. I think that's a good spot for us to also kind of pin the story.
Yeah.
And yeah, this was a cool episode. I think this kind of wound up being really interesting because of the way that, like, we basically pulled in the other Lindworm element and another ritual without actually doing them, which was kind of cool.
It was amazing. I loved it.
That was very good. Great job, everyone.
Now we just have to follow the Lindworm.
Right. Or do we go and try to find Robin is the other question.
Right. Like, I'm not in a rush to end it, but, like, there's so much. Is it possible? How does one end?
I'm also like, do we want to see the hitchhiker again?
I was thinking about the hitchhiker.
I was this close to being like, Mickey, do we, like, smell cigarette smoke at this rave? Like,
is there just, like, a scent of cigarettes and deep fryer somewhere?
I was for a second before I think M suggested the Cataract Knight, or maybe it was Mickey, one of you two. I was like, what if the person that Jet runs into is the hitchhiker?
Oh, that could have been too.
Mm.
That really could have been too.
But I think putting that really difficult choice in front of Jet was, like, important character growth moment. So,
like, anyway, I'm really pleased with how that turned out. I was gonna be stoked for Jet.
Yeah.
Mickey was going to be stoked. I mean, Lumen would be a fucking mess, but
Yeah, I was definitely like, I don't know, like, does Jet go and, you know, fulfills her duty and, like, you know, just not be there while we try to find Robin? Or, but no, I think that's a more interesting answer. Mm. All right.
I like that for the title, a more interesting answer.
That is a good answer too. Or a good title. I'll write that one down.
Thank you for listening to the Role Less Taken Campfire. This has been Chris as Sabrina, M as Sean, Mickey as Akili, and Graham as Jet. We've been playing Sleepaway by J Dragon of Possum Creek Games, with some elements from the Uncanny expansion, also by J Dragon. You can find more info on the game in the show notes. You can also find us on Twitter at Role Less Taken, Instagram at The Role Less Taken, and Facebook at The Role Less Taken. That's Role with an E, folks. Please rate and review us on Podchaser and iTunes, and don't forget to tell your friends about the show. Tune in for our next episode. Thanks again for listening, and watch out for the Lindworm.